Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
What's up, Church by the Glades? Hey, thanks for logging on. Okay, there's a few people in this room. We're under the thresholds recommended, but just to create a little energy. But thank you so much for checking us out today. Maybe you're part of our church family. You're with us all the time. Maybe you're new to our experience. Thank you so much. We're doing church. This is church. I've been saying for some time, church is open. It's just our buildings that are closed right now. So the word in the Bible in Greek for church is typically ekklesia. Ekklesia means a gathering. So our physical gatherings are amazing, but right now we're having a virtual gathering. So this is going to be church today, and I believe God is going to use this in your life. So what do we talk about? Well, it's kind of obvious. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of confusion out there, a lot of fear out there right now. So here's my first word to you. Be fearless. We should be different. We are God's chosen people. And throughout the Bible, God tells us to be fearless. The spokespersons can be sometimes a priest or a prophet, occasionally an angel, even Jesus himself. God says, in fact, I've seen Bible scholars say 365 different times, God in the Old Testament, Hebrew scripture, and in the New Testament says, be fearless, don't be afraid. Let me show you one. And by the way, things are so fluid right now. It feels like it's changing all the time, every single day. In fact, the whole world changed in America a week ago Wednesday. So anyone right now making predictions past 3 days, I just kind of laugh. It's changing so quickly. But God's word never changes. So let me show you one of those 300 plus times where God says, do not be afraid or be fearless. I love in the Hebrew scripture, the prophet Isaiah, God speaking through him in chapter 41 says this. It's so good in verse 10. In fact, I'll put it on the big LED behind me. Look at this. You read out loud. By the way, at home, I know you're not going to shout, but go ahead and at least mouth these words if you would. So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not be afraid. Be fearless. No, Christian people, people of faith throughout history and biblically have not reflected or absorbed the fear of a culture. We've always risen above that. They freak out, we keep our minds. They fall apart, we maintain our faith. They tighten up, we remain compassionate. They lock down, we stay generous. In fact, generosity, hey, last week in church, I challenged you, share. Be open-handed right now. Everyone else is freaking out and panicking. You share. In fact, I challenge you to share your toilet paper. Hey, here's something fun. So Church by the Glades, this past Friday, we shared 5,000 rolls of toilet paper. Yeah, kind of fun. What I love about that is toilet paper is so wonderfully even-handed, is so, if you will, democratic, because everybody needs toilet paper, right? Rich people need toilet paper. Poor people need toilet paper. Black people, white people, Latin people, Asian people, we all need toilet paper. Republicans need toilet paper. Democrats need toilet paper, you know? Trump people need toilet paper. Biden people, Bernie people. Kind of funny, the three guys running for president are all older than that threshold. They should be quarantined. But anyways, you know, it's even-handed. It reminds us that our differences are not nearly as dissimilar as our commonality. The enemy right now is not the other political party, or we're not mad at the Chinese because it started. No, the enemy is a virus. And whether you're white or black, rich or poor, Republican, Democrat, conservative, guess what? We're all one. It's humanity versus a virus. Whether you're Christian, Jew, Muslim, or Buddhist, or atheist, we're all part of the human family, God's family. And sometimes an enemy like this can draw us together and galvanize us. So let's share, let's be open-handed, let's help each other out, let's love our neighbors right now. So there's opportunity. You be fearless. So I want to talk about fear, but I want to come back and pick up the conversation we've had about miracles. We started a few weeks ago a series called I Need a Miracle. We're studying the miracles of Jesus. There are 34 recorded miracles in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've been studying some of those miracles. I got one picked out today. And this miracle is not a miracle where Jesus demonstrates his authority over sickness or disease. There are those kinds of miracles. He is a healer. So we're going to pray for the sick in just a moment. But this is Jesus showing his authority over nature. But I do want to pray first. So here's what I want to do. At our church, when you come to a service, we're physically involved. You know, there are times we stand and sing. There's times we stand and pray. Sometimes, you know, we'll raise our hands and have a special prayer request. We must never kneel. So I want to do something. We're going to pray in just a moment. And I want you, if you don't mind, put aside your coffee. Stop folding the laundry. And I want you to go to a knee or both knees if you're physically able. In this room, the small group here, we're going to go to our knees. And I think, how cool. Though we're separated by geography, we're still one church. And all of our cities, whether you live in Lake Worth, you're in Margate or Coral Springs or Parkland or Sunrise or Fort Lauderdale, we're all over the place. We got people in different states, people in different countries. Thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands of people right now as the body of Christ, as we pray, let's go to our knees. So we're going to bow down together. If you'll bow down right there in your kitchen, if you don't mind, let's pray as one church all together, bowing before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we give these uncertain times to you. We're one church. Yeah, we're all over the place. We love to physically gather, but that's just not in the cards right now. But we ask God, you would still manifest your presence. Because though we're not physically present, that promise where two or three are gathered, and here by the internet we are, you promise you'll show up. So Lord Jesus, heal, touch, transform. As we study the miracles of the Bible, we still believe you're a miracle-working God. Work miracles right now. We need you, and we know, God, you've got this. We open our minds now to your word as we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I just thought that'd be kind of fun. So here we are bowing all over these cities and states together. All right, so miracles of Jesus. There's 34. I picked one. It's him showing his authority over nature. It's found in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Turn there if you have your Bible. Luke chapter 5. And by the way, I'll put the verses up on the screen. So as you watch on your device or on your laptop, the scripture will be right there. And to set it all up, I wrote down some names. If you recognize these names, these are people that they're related to each other in some way. They have a degree of notoriety. But if you know who they are, right there, if, say if you're watching on our website or on Facebook, right there in the chat, if you know who these people are, how they're related, go ahead and indicate it. Now, don't tell who they are, right? Don't tell the relationship. But if you know who they are, my guess is you probably won't. But here's a list of names. Flip Pallet, Bernard Lefty Cray, Steve Huff, Mary Orvis Marbury, James W. Jump. I'm looking at blank faces in this small gathering here. But if you know who they are, go ahead and indicate on the chat right there. If you know, don't tell. How are they related? How are they known? What did they accomplish? Who are these people? All right, you stay in Luke chapter 5. Let me set the stage for this amazing miracle. Do you have a big dream? I hope you have big dreams, but guess what? No matter how big your dream is, God has a bigger dream for your life. Luke 5 is awesome. But I love the promise in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It's right there on your screen. Look at this great promise of God. Here's what it says. Now to him, that is Jesus, who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or
imagine.
Now this is God throwing down. This is God saying, I got a plan for your life. I have a vision for your life. I have a dream for your life. You ask or you imagine. You dream your biggest dream. Right. Now, I love the challenge here because I have a big imagination. If you've never been to Church by the Glades, man, we're creative. We love themes. Our church is very undull, and that probably starts to some degree with me. I love imagination. My staff will tell you I'm not very linear. I'm very right brain. I'm very artistic. I have a big imagination. Maybe your imagination's way bigger than mine. Maybe your imagination is so extraordinary. You make Walt Disney look dull and mundane. Your imagination is huge. That's God saying, guess what? Imagination, dream your biggest dream. I'll beat it. You go to your dream place. You go to the beach. You go to the beach. Wait, the beach is closed. You go to that rock in the backyard, man, your dream rock. You sit on that rock. You dream your biggest dream, and I got something bigger and something better. In this miracle, you're going to see God replace his dream for someone's dream. It's a huge dream upgrade. Luke chapter 5, little verse by verse, not the only way, but my favorite way to study the Word of God. We'll go through verse by verse, chapter 1. One day, when Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, you may know that by the name the Sea of Galilee, people were crowding around him and listening to the Word of God. When we start to meet again, if you come for the first time, you'll notice we have big campuses, lots of people show up. Why do we have crowds? Well, it's this verse. When you make church, when you make a gathering about Jesus and God's Word, people show up. And so here Jesus is sharing his Word. People are crowding. Now, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the
fishermen.
Okay, so it's a fishing story. These people in the room know right now, I tend to like the stories in the Bible about fishing. I'm an avid fisherman, and more than a few of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. So there's some fishermen, and it says they are washing their nets. Now, that's what they would do when the fishing day was done. In the Sea of Galilee, there's about a half dozen different species of fish. They fish for today. It's a large inland freshwater lake, and you fish at night. You fish at night using these nets, but when the day is done, you wash the nets. You're about to see, too, by the way, they didn't do very well that night. They didn't catch very well, so they failed. They failed, and they're washing their nets, indicating, well, the failure's permanent. The day is done. They lost, but guess what? It's not over until God says it's over. It's not done until Jesus said it's done. Sometimes he'll put time on the clock for you. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. Now, we know Simon by a different name, Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water. Deep water, if I have time, I'll circle back around to that. And let down the nets for a catch. Verse 5. Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but because you say so, we'll let down. I love that verse, by the way. He's saying, hey, Jesus, this thing you're asking me to do doesn't make sense. I mean, no offense, Jesus, you're a carpenter, I'm a fisherman, I've made my living on, I've been fishing since I was in diapers, and we fish at nighttime. We don't fish in the deep, we fish in the shallow, and all that was true, but nonetheless, you're the master, you're my Lord. It confuses me. I mean, I want to be great, and you're telling me to be the servant. I'd like to be first, and you're saying, hey, try going last. I want more. You're telling me to give, and it shall be given to me. Really? That's so counterintuitive. But you're the Lord. It's okay to ask God hard questions. It's okay to say, hey, I'm confused by these times. I don't get it. Does it make sense? But nonetheless, I'll do what you're asking me to do. And so he obeys. Look what happens. I love the results. Verse 6 and following. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Oh my gosh, this is a catch of all time. In fact, verse 7, it says, they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Let me stop right here. Why did I pick this miracle? Because other miracles might seem more on point right now. There's going to be an element of fear later in the story. There are miracles, though, where fear is a dominant theme. There's other miracle stories where he does exercise authority over disease and sickness several times. That might seem more on point. But here's why I chose this one. This is a miracle of provision. Provision. See, they're fishermen. I'm a fisherman, but I'm a recreational fisherman. I fish for fun. It's my hobby. Peter and his partners, they're professionals. They fish for a living. And you recall, man, they got skunked. The whole night they fished, they caught nothing. That means for their business, no income, no profits, no groceries. How do we feed our families? But Jesus steps into the reality and provides fish for them. I brought this up because right now, there's more than a few people in our church family, because of all this going on, you've lost your jobs. Or maybe you feel like the loss of your job is imminent. I've talked with a handful of our small business owners this week, and they're feeling the pressure because, again, business is drying up, or they're having to close up, and they're feeling the pressure on themselves and for their families. At the same time, all the guys I talked to, good guys, were worried about their employees. and their families that they have to lay people off. Maybe you work for a large company, but even they're affected. Yeah. Our campuses are in South Florida. The cruise industry is based out of here. And oh my gosh, it's affecting everyone. You're thinking, I might lose my job. Or I've lost my job. What do I do? Okay. I got good news. I got bad news. Good news and bad news. What do you want first? I always take the bad news first. Give me the bad news first. All right, so here's if you're worried about losing your job or you've lost your job, here's the bad news. Jesus never promised you a job. Jesus never promised you to be rich. That's the bad news. What he does promise, here's the good news. He promises to meet your needs. He promises to meet your needs. Now, typically the way he meets our needs is through a job. He blesses with work and we work the work, right? But he is really creative. So what he told Peter to do here makes no sense. Fish the wrong time of day in the wrong place, but Peter obeys Jesus. It's not logical, it's counterintuitive, but he does it, and Jesus resources him. By the way, Peter did invite Jesus into his boat. Wow. Now, his boat was his business, so he made Jesus the centerpiece of his business. Christian person, have you done that? Is Jesus the CEO? Is he the president of your business? See, a lot of Christians I meet, they want Jesus to be front and center of their spiritual life. Or, Lord, you take control of my relationships or my habits. Lord, I'll give you my priorities. But this is business. I've had people say to me, David, that church stuff is great, but this is business. Like, there's a whole different set of rules. No, invite Jesus to invade your business. Practice biblical principles. They pay off in the long term. So Peter did make that decision. Jesus, I invite you into my boat. But that promise Jesus makes, the scripture makes, is not a job. It's not riches. He may make you rich. It's to meet your needs. Yes. Let me show you a couple of these promises. In fact, these are so important to someone watching right now, and this is what you need to hear. I want to put it on the big screen behind me. I love what it says in Philippians 4:19. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Then in the Hebrew scripture, I love in the Psalms, Psalm 37, verse 25, it says this. It says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. These are biblical principles that I think are so timely. So right now, if you're hurting, if you need that, just know that God's going to find some creative way to resource you. If you're part of the Church by the Glades family, let us know. If you're hurting right now, we'd love to step in. It's our glad responsibility to aid you at times like this. But I believe if you're looking for provision, God is going to be your source. Be fearless. Be fearless. Again, let me work through this quickly. I'm taking too long today. Stay with me. So verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the great catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's. Good job. His partners, big idea, shows up twice here, verse 7 and here. Verse 10, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. It's one of the 365 times. I know you don't know how I did this or even why I did this, but don't be afraid. I got you right now, Simon. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Little postscript, so verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is such a rich story. Let me give you a couple of thoughts, and I'll let you go right now. A couple of thoughts to sum up this great miracle, and they're simple. Here's what they are. Connect and share. Connect and share. Hey, go ahead and just say it with me quietly. Connect and share. You'll hear those words a lot if you're connected at all with the Church by the Glades family, if you're tapped into any of our social media, if you're plugged into our website. Connect and share. Connect and share. I see both those dynamics in this miracle narrative. Let me talk about connect first. Connect the partners. The partners. Did you notice the partners are blessed? The partners are blessed with a large catch of fish. Their boat almost sinks as well. And the partners did not invite Jesus into their boat. They didn't cast out into the deep water. They didn't let down their nets for a catch. Yet they're still blessed. Why? Because the partners were connected with Jesus, not yet, later on. At this point, the partners are just connected to Peter. And Peter's connected to Jesus. Staying connected is huge. Right now, maybe you're under quarantine right now and you feel isolated. Don't isolate. You got to stay connected. God made us for relationships. And right now, we're kind of afraid of each other. We're afraid of mass gatherings. That's fine. But you have to stay connected. I mean, and not just watching Netflix and watching television and watching YouTube. You need to engage with other people. I mean, take that smartphone and call somebody. We got to stay connected. Church family, it is critical right now we stay connected. We're going to help you with that. We have something coming up called Fearless Five. Fearless Five. So what I'm going to do is at 5 o'clock, 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, because we have services on the weekend. We'll stream the services during the typical service time. But I want to give you a five-minute word of inspiration or courage, a devotional every single day. In fact, our tech team has set up a mini studio in what used to be my dining room. And so me and Lisa, we're going to share that with you. And so plug in with that. So 5 o'clock, about 5 minutes, 5 days a week, and share that with five friends. Stay connected. It's a vital life principle. You got to stay connected with the right people. I love these partners did that. They stayed. They simply stayed. They were blessed because they stayed. They fished together all night long. The sermon started. Maybe they were interested in Jesus. He was quite intriguing, but maybe they stayed because they loved Simon. By the way, thank you for staying. Thank you for not logging off during the sermon. They stayed during the sermon. They were blessed because of that. But the blessing was for Simon and his boat, but because they were connected, spillover blessing landed in theirs. It's vital you stay connected to the right people. The same way connecting to the wrong people can be messy. If you're connected with toxic people, oh my gosh, people who make bad decisions. I found that bad decisions and stupid, highly contagious. But if you stay connected to good people, God people, blessings come your way. So you've got to stay connected. When I say three, say the word connected. One, two, three.
Connected.
I'm going to stay connected, especially in a season with fear. Amazing, they were blessed because they didn't invite Jesus in their boat. They were connected with someone who did. And then connect and share. Connect and share. When I say three, say the word share. One, two, three.
Share.
So the story unfolds. They have this amazing catch of fish. And I was thinking about, you know, dream. What was Simon's biggest dream? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But he was a fisherman. Maybe his dream was not wealth. Fishermen typically don't get rich and, you know, truly famous. Maybe just to be respected as a fisherman, to be respected by other fishermen. I do fish a lot, and I'm not a great fisherman per se, but I fish with some great fishermen. I fish occasionally with some guides in the Florida Keys. These guys are so good at what they do. Man, they're so knowledgeable. You know, I love to fish for a fish called the tarpon. It's a migratory fish, a big sport fish. They're smart. And these guides have to calculate the time of day, the time of year, the tides, the currents, other conditions, the migratory patterns. And they get all these micro decisions going on. And these guides are very good, but they love it when they're respected by other fishing guides. They're not cocky, but they love being respected by their peers. Maybe that was Peter's biggest dream. Those five obscure names I mentioned a few moments ago. Now listen, if you're new to Church by the Glades, my sermons are like an episode of Seinfeld. They're kind of scattered at first, but I kind of bring it all back together, hopefully. Those names, Lefty Cray, Flip Pallet, Steve Huff, Mary Orvis Marbury, and James W. Jones. I can't remember who the last guy even was. All right. Anyways, those are all famous fishermen. They've all been inducted into the International Fishing Hall of Fame. Which, yeah, they're saying, wow, but like 85% of you guys are going, what's the International Fishing Hall of Fame? Is that even a thing? Actually, it's right here in South Florida. It's in Dania. If you like me and you love fishing, you should probably go see it sometime. Go once. Probably once we'll do it. It ain't Disney World, but if you're into fishing, they honor the best fishermen of all time. But you probably didn't know those names. Peter was hoping, man, someday I hope to catch so many fish that in the tavern they celebrate me. And as I walk through the streets of my village, Capernaum, they say, that's Peter. He caught all those fish. I want to be known as a great fisherman. And God had a way bigger dream than that. Hey, Peter, Jesus said, how about fishing for people? I mean, catching fish, that's all great and stuff, but how about fishing for men? How about bringing hope and forgiveness and freedom and victory and courage to people? How about doing something so great? Generations after you will know your name. I don't know who the great fishermen were of the first century, But we name our kids names like James and Andrew and Matthew and Peter. We name our kids after these guys. That new call, that new dream was so seismic. They left everything. Verse 11, they left the fish behind. They left the boats behind. Everything to follow Jesus and this new dream. The dream was to share the gospel. Times are weird right now. But if you're part of the Church by the Glades family, you do a great job sharing the good news of Christ, the good news of forgiveness, the good news of heaven. I love the way you do that. You invite people to our church buildings all the time. Awesome the way you do that. You invite people to Lake Worth, to Sawgrass Campus. You invite people to Sample Road. Our two prison campuses, which can't meet right now, pray for them, please. They invite people they do life with to those services. You invite people to our physical campuses. That is amazing. But keep sharing. The invite has never been easier than it is right now. Think about it. You invite people every week when we're meeting at our campuses. But if you invite a family of four, let's pretend everybody loves Fred Yule. Fred Yule is part of our creative team here, one of our great pastors. Pretend Fred is my neighbor, and Fred and Melissa are not people of faith. They're not Christ followers. They're not church. I think I have a picture of their family, right? Beautiful family. And I invite them to Church by the Glades. You know, they have some true barriers. They have some walls, if they say yes, to overcome, right? Maybe they choose to go to Sample Road campus. It's close to their house, great campus. And they choose to go to the 11:30 service, 11:30, all right? Let the kids sleep in a little bit. They still have to get the kids dressed, get them ready, get the family in the car. They've maybe seen the campus. The hospitality is amazing, but they don't know that yet. They're wondering, what are they, I'm stepping into? Is the music going to be old and strange? Are the people going to be weird? All that stuff is playing. Now, people, gosh, by the hundreds, almost every weekend, do physically come to our campuses. But a digital invite on Facebook or YouTube, saying yes to that, sharing that, now the walls are paper thin. Church by the Glades, as you're watching right now, yeah, stay connected. And share. Yeah. Yep. The call to fish for people is not just unique to the disciples. Yeah. It's the same mandate Jesus gave us. This stuff we have, his courage, his power, his forgiveness, his grace, is too good to keep to yourselves. Yeah. We got to share it. Yeah. And using Facebook and using our website, using Instagram, whatever you can to get the word out right now, I think we have a brilliant gospel opportunity in this season. Share, fish for people. Let's see victories. Because guess what? Things are going on. I think the invite is easy. I think people are bored. I mean, gosh, I miss sports. I turn on ESPN, they got nothing right now. True story, I watched the life story of shoeless Joe Jackson. He's been dead for 85 years. There's nothing on sports right now. And then there's fear. There's fear and anxiety. Let's step into that gap and bring the good news of life change through Jesus Christ. We have something to share. Hey, church, I love you. Stay connected and share, connected and share. And one final thought, if you're watching this right now and don't know for certain that you have life in Christ, that you've had a moment in your life, you said yes to Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, can I fish for you for a minute? I've been called to fish for men. Now, here's the only place that beautiful metaphor breaks down in my mind. When I fish for a fish and catch a fish in the ocean, I might take that fish from its beautiful life to death. But when you fish for people, you take people from death to a beautiful life. I would love for you to experience what I've found in Christ. He will love you the way you are. He will forgive you, receive you, make you his child, qualify you for heaven. You can make your decision for Christ today. In fact, we have people who would love to communicate with you right now. How's that even happen? I'm in quarantine perhaps, or David, I'm watching this. I'm in Nebraska or in Zimbabwe. Here's all you have to do. Text salvation to 954-866-4443, and someone from our team will respond to you in the very near future. They'll help you navigate life's greatest decision, and you can give your life to Christ today. Hey, church, my God is still in the miracle-working business, and your miracle might simply be a click away. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much that you are in control. Thank you, God, that you got this. We do not need to walk in fear. All those plethora of promises to fear not, we'll take to heart. God, let us also be wise during this time and recognize there are seasons of opportunities As your people, we will not freak out when they have fear. We'll be compassionate, open-handed. God, show us ways to bless other people. Lord, use this time as we connect and share in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. See you tomorrow for Fearless 5.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.